Welcome to episode 73 of the Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, hordes, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast sponsored by Karchev's Towing Service. We're better than that Darius guy. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Tim.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Z, hailing from the land of America.
What finally, almost.
What is the land of America?
I thought it was Hotlanta.
Hotlanta?
Are you talking about how you're not a Mexican anymore?
Yes, I'm no longer.
You know, Mexicans are also Americans, right?
Damn it.
As are Canadians.
Didn't we annex Mexico yet?
Not them.
That wasn't that Patrick Swayze movie in the 80s, Red Dawn.
He died.
Yeah. I heard they're making a sequel to that.
I heard they were just remaking it completely.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. I heard Patrick Swayze was making a cameo.
Shut up. That's horrible.
He's joining the Michael Jackson Thriller tour.
Ta-da! So Z, are you an American or what?
I am 90% an American citizen.
So not 100%.
No, my left hand is not a citizen yet.
Very good. Congratulations.
It's like a long story behind it. One boy.
Z's like the version of Achilles. It's like they held him by his hand when they dipped him in the America sauce. That's his weak spot now.
Exactly.
What was the hardest question?
I have to use my dice rolling hand now. No.
What was the hardest question?
Who was the first president?
Hugh Dick.
No, George Washington. Hugh Dick was not a president.
Yeah, Washington. He washed the dishes in the sink. He drank milk.
It was actually a really funny experience. The guy who was. I had a 55, 60-year-old man doing the whole process for me. It was a one-on-one interview. Like they take you to the office separately and they have this computer and they have this printout and they read you the questions and they double check all your paperwork and whatnot. And, the entire time, now, mind you, when I'm nervous, I like to talk. And this guy was so stern, like I was afraid to say something because I wouldn't get, you know, my citizenship. And so just sitting there, quiet, not trying to say anything, and the entire time, the subtext going through my head was, I bet this guy's thinking, I hate my job, I hate foreigners, why oh why did I take this job?
I know, that's how I feel.
Did, like, at the start of the interview, did he get his, like, ink pad and put it out on the desk and open it up with the little deported stamp next to it and just kind of glare at you menacingly?
Thankfully, no.
Okay.
I probably would have fainted. It's expensive to become a citizen, man.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow.
They make you pay all those taxes.
How many pesos did you have to use?
No. You have to be paying taxes even before you become a citizen, so.
Boom.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, what's first, gents?
No one listening to this podcast cares about our personal life, so let's talk about War Machine.
All right, well, we got an email or two.
Or three.
Yep.
Three?
Most likely not three, but I just said or. It
could
possible.
Be.
We could have gotten none as good. Well.
You've got to read out. You got to print out right there.
I got a bunch of emails last night. First one.
No, Jason, we do not want to see a larger penis.
I have this great lead on a penis enlargement. Yeah, it's awesome.
You have penis mighty ears here?
Is it called a microscope?
You're shitting on a gold mine, Trebek.
Shitting on a gold mine, Trebek.
You want to do that one first or this one first?
That one first.
You want to do this one first? Yeah. All right.
So I'm going to rant about this.
All right,
one.
So the first one is an email from a guy named Adam in England who sent us an email asking us about making a cray list with Lattermore. He wanted a fast Signar list.
In England, that's a weird last name.
Well, I was
like Robert England.
I don't
know. Freddy Krueger.
Adam in England.
Although the new Freddy Krueger is Rorschach from The Watchmen.
Really?
Yes. Awesome.
This should be good.
The trailer is amazing.
It's gonna be horrible.
But back to the email.
So Adam was thinking Stormcav and Hunters. He wants to know what Jacks and troops he should take though with the Mark II changes. And I'm not reading last names out of whatever. Just
spite.
You already gave it away.
And yeah, England. Adam England.
I'm a fan of the Cav list, but lo and behold, I'm just told about a little blurb, maybe a little insert from the new Signar book. Josh?
Yeah, Tim probably knows more about it than I do. Tim, they were spooling the list and something about cat like Cav for Signar.
Yeah, the tiered list for Cray apparently out of the Signar book
makes trenchers like Cav.
No, they the awesome. List is Rangers, the Black 13th. Jax, Cray, Mechanics, and they have it listed as Light Cav, and I think Light Cav Solos.
Yeah, that's what I read. Yeah.
So they at least have design open for future Light Cav. I would bet it'll be like Rangers on horseback.
Yeah, well, that's like going forward and whatnot, but what about right now?
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
I would say that I'm not a fan of Stormlances and Lattermore with Cray. Because they like to get stuck in, and it seems like he's got a real shooty thing. And now that they have permanent reach, they're going to be engaging a lot of models. So I would be kind of worried that, you know, your cab are getting stuck in. And
you don't think they could, like, hit from a side, tie a bunch of stuff up, and then, like, you could jet, well, swing the other direction and start unloading?
Lattermore can make them reliable shooters, but she has to be within 5 inches of them, so you're really paying 5 points to give,
she's only four.
She's four or five?
I think she's four.
I'd have to look at her. I haven't played her yet. But, you know, for an extra essential 2 or 5 inches of range in Electro Leap or something like that.
Which is nice
on
the assault.
Which is nice on assault, but you're limiting her usefulness, I think.
Absolutely.
And remember back when we had tacticians, so that was actually easier done?
Yeah, it was easier to pull off the Mark One, obviously.
Well, I have tactician.
Here's my one
control champion
thing to comment about this is I think that the problem is you take a bunch of light cav or jacks and cav infantry and solos. Usually they're going to be flanking, but in order to successfully flank, you need something to kind of anchor your enemy to keep them from basically just readdressing to your flank. So you still need something like some sort of disposable mass infantry to go up the middle and kind of keep your opponent busy.
And the problem is that you've got these, you've got cavalry, which are much faster, and then you've got advanced deploy, which even if you're using trenchers, A, it's more expensive for disposable troops, and B, advanced deploy is not as far up. So you're going to be outpacing your things, let alone that spell that he has that doubles your speed for a jack. If I were to be making a cav list, I would just go for no shooty, all face smashing, Stormclad, Old Rowdy, cav, really get a lot of mileage out of Easy Rider, giving things Pathfinder, if he still has that, which I believe he does. And utilizing the speed in his feet. His feet is excellent. Also, it's the bring a cyclone around.
I was just thinking the cyclone.
You can do the cheesy double-handed throw, pop feet, stand him up. It's like one of the only things that gets around being able to charge on a turn that you get knocked down because it pops you up and it doesn't say you're immune to knockdown.
Yeah, you only lose you only have to sacrifice something if you are slammed or thrown and cannot be knocked down.
Yep. Correct.
And so, normally you can't be forced to get up on your turn, but this feat is one of the few exceptions.
So I would say Stormclad with that spell. I mean, Old Rowdy is good, but the Stormclad's going to be able to get a better angle with reach, and he's also going to have higher
power.
How
much is a Stormclad, Old Rowdy, and a Cyclone?
28 points.
28 points?
Yep.
And how many jack points does Cray have?
Five? Six.
Six?
Six, so it's 22. So that's a big chunk of an army.
Absolutely.
He said Hunters.
Right.
He wants
Hunters.
Sure, toss in a hunter too. I mean, you can go jack heavy here, but of course, once again, you're going to be really thin on your...
Did he say that he wanted to do a fast shooty list or like a fat?
He says fast signal list with Cray and Lattermore.
And Storm Cavalry and Hunters.
Well, he said he was thinking Storm Cav and Hunters.
Well, I mean, I can see two aspects. Like, you guys have already talked about the jack heavy, like, beat face aspect. The other side of things would obviously be in my opinion, the Storm Cav and the Hunters, where the Hunters soften up the heavy targets and the Storm Cav just blow in there and kill it because they don't have staying power like they used to.
But for the
assault, right?
Yeah, that's true. For one more point, though, you could be bringing Ironclads and go really meaty, and most likely, I mean, not many people are prepared for four heavy jacks.
The Hunter's okay. I actually think that Cray might get more use out of Chargers and the Cyclone because of he can punch solos pretty hard, and the Cyclone will let him take out troops with Guided Fire, which is a spell that boosts all ranged attack rolls from his battle group.
Because the Cav have Electro Leap, though, he wouldn't need to worry about taking out infantry with his units when his calf can do that much better.
Well, what I'm thinking is that why, if you start bringing things like Hunters as well as all these jacks, or Chargers with all these jacks, Charger, first of all, you want to give him a focus. You don't want to rely on Guided Fire because you get powerful shot, which is way better. So I say save your focus. Don't be make a list that doesn't cast Guided Fire all the time, like you see all these cheesy lists that you've been, people have been privy to with Cray, which in my opinion, which in my opinion is why the Cray list has never worked, because I think that doesn't work. In my opinion, I don't think that the whole shooty Cray list is,
I don't think you work
as good as a melee beat list, because whenever I've had any damage done to me by Cray, it's been by Old Rowdy with 3 dice to hit, or a Stormclad or an Ironclad with 3 dice to hit. You get crit knockdown, you've got crit chain lightning on the Stormclad. On that feat turn, you're going to be wrecking everything around you.
I mean, yeah, but there's a difference between having a really good feat turn army and a really good overall game army.
Well, think about this. If you get a Stormclad you can get a Stormclad with double speed ability, whatever, you can charge him in. He gets impact attacks, so you can break lines, and then he can go through and, you know, take out any hard target because he's hitting at pound 19, most likely taking him out.
Personally, I prefer the Hammersmith over the Stormclad in that list.
Sure, Hammersmith as well. He's excellent. He can get up the way. I just was saying the Stormclad because with Reach, you're really extending your threat range as well as being able to. Signar casters are known for having a lot of like small solos. A little, I'd say, second to Menoth, of course. But you know, you've got the Squire, the Journeyman, things all that like that in the backfield. If you're getting boosted attacks and Chain Lightning, you're going to be maybe popping one or two of those just by having a Stormclad around.
Good call.
I was just looking through his spell list here, and I noticed that he has Pursuit. I didn't realize he got that with the Mark II. So even though that's not necessarily going to help you on your turn, it helps you back off and reposition on your opponent's turn a little bit. So especially if you're going to do some light cav with his light jacks, you can sort of do that shifting around, kind of annoying hit-and-run kind of action.
And if he has a Lancer, he can definitely make sure he can hit with that.
Yeah, certainly.
So
yeah, I would say a Lancer is actually my favorite light jack with him. I think the Sentinel's great because you get all those boosted attacks with the Lancer. Right now, it's the best melee jack you got. Because it's got the reach, and it also can take a hit better than all the other jacks can.
I think Signar needs a light all-melee jack.
They're not going to get it.
I know they're not, because there's a whole combined arms thing. But
the
that
Firefly
would be cool
may
see.
Be POW 13, which if it is really huge for a non-character Signar jack.
And then you take a couple of Stormsmiths with them for triangulation and surges.
I cannot believe that that's going to happen.
Is that what it does?
What he's talking about.
He counts as a Stormsmith for purposes of surge or triangulations. So you give him a focus to run. And then the other two make the triangle, and then they do the Triforce thing, and everybody dies.
Or you just bolt both the Stormsmiths on the sides, making them either split their army to deal with them if they don't have proper range. So they've got to, you know, come back, and Firefly would be excellent with that, too.
I think you can do an interesting shooty list with Cray. I think you could do some. I think a Defender is an interesting option because it can give you both. It's solid for melee. I mean, it's not as good as Old Rowdy or Stormclad, but it can do the job. So you move up, you shoot for a first turn or two, and then you send him in on the feed. I think you can definitely build some solid lists around him.
I would agree. So those are just a couple of ideas. Thanks a lot for writing the email, and yeah, hopefully
have fun in England, Adam.
Yeah, exactly. Have fun with that Cray list.
Silly Cray.
So we've got a second email.
Dear.
It's Penguin from Yellow Dice. Yellow Dice is the blog. It's also viewable on the IABN. He plays Retribution, and he wanted to kind of give us, apparently, some insight on why people don't use other casters as much. But he wrote us this email and kind of did a nice breakdown of each of the casters and so what his opinion was on why people aren't playing these casters or why people are playing them in the Retribution. Before we get into this, though, we talked about our experience with Retribution last week. Did we talk really about who we didn't see?
A little bit.
I think the whole point was that everybody, for the most part, played Kalissa.
I did play against Raven.
So did I.
So,
Raven's good.
Raven, I think, is probably the most well-rounded of all of them.
Well, what he says about Raven is he thinks that she can't make up her mind because she seems to want to lead from the front and have a range army. So playing her forward kind of leaves her exposed, he thinks. But at the same time, you're not getting the most out of her if you're using her for her ranged aspect. How did the Raven player play when you guys played him?
You played Jason, right? Is that who you played?
Yep.
Yeah, when I played him, and I was playing Denegra against him, he kept her kind of back, guarded by some terrain and some models, and she didn't come forward at all. I guess I was able to tie up his arc nodes a little bit, so nothing happened there with those, and I was just able to punch through. So unfortunately, I didn't get to see a whole lot with her.
Against me, he moved up to feet, and he pretty much kept Invictors and Sentinels either in front of or around her, blocking with their arm 17, and then had the Mage Hunters on a flank that were coming up and trying to feed and kill me.
I personally loved Raven when I first saw her, but in the end, I don't think that – I kind of agree that you're kind of – her effectiveness is in multiple areas, and if you play her too aggressively, you might be able to find out, especially with Jax being around. If you're not bringing a way to kill the Jax – all of a sudden, any Jack with a full amount of focus, if you don't kill their caster, can kill her. I mean, she's defense 16. There's only one Jack, heavy Jack that's not mat 6, and that's the Berserker. So on average rolls, you're going to be hitting at the top end. So you can, you can boost and then buy and boost with 3 focus and most likely squash her. So
well, if somebody's that far forward up in your face, it's usually trivial to knock them down.
That too.
In many cases.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
So. What about Gareth? I think his comment on Gareth is... Without the delivery system of Morgul, he's not the next Morgul, epic Morgul, on assassination attempts. And Kalissa kind of does the same kind of death attacks as he does, but from range, and so it makes her better.
He's got two hand cannons, am I right? That essentially, armor?
Yes.
And that's more powerful than Kaelissa's, well, right?
But Kaelissa can basically
she's also a
Phantom Hunter herself. She can see through everything. That's I think that's the difference. Is you can still screen yourself against Gareth. You can't screen yourself or hide from Kaelissa because her gun shoots through everything.
Well, I think that the way his army plays, especially because his feat's a denial feat, you should hopefully be able to get in some kind of counterattack on your feat turn mm-hmm. and hopefully crush their army. And then it's one of those kind of situations where as the armies get whittled down, you're left with Gareth versus your caster.
That's the difference.
Most of the time, Gareth is better.
Kaelissa is there to just shoot through everything. Gareth is more like Epic Striker, and he needs a hole made of some sort. And I think that, yeah, like you said, but I don't think his army wants to get the counterattack. I think with the Speak of the Retribution, they need to get in, get the first attack, and feat to deny a counterattack.
Yeah, that's why what I meant. To get more attacks off without taking as much punishment.
I think Gareth plays a lot like Epic Striker and a lot like Kane. He's the solo assassin. I mean, he does it. He wants to do it by himself. He'll throw his entire force away to get the job done.
I find myself thinking with both Gareth and with Fyros that when I look at him, I'm like, you know what? I would just be holding my focus and just go look for a great place to beat face. You know, I saw a game with Tim against Legal Gun the other day, and Legal Gun ended up biffing a Fyros assassination, but he also probably should have been able to just run, given one of his focus out, run one of his jacks to get the flank bonus, because Fyros is just as bad, if not better, than Gareth in some situations as far as being able to kill.
And, you know, we talked about this Wednesday, that Fyros can do the Kaelissa see-through-anything trick better and more focus-efficient than she can.
Uh-huh.
Because of his bird's eye ability, everybody in his battle group gets that naturally to ignore everything.
He doesn't have a rate of fire 3 dart gun.
But no, she doesn't have a Pal 14 reach weapon. 10 right. weapon master with Flynn yet.
And so he could essentially take 2 Hydras and in the first turn put 3 focus on them. Because that seems to be the big Kaelissa trick, you know, the range 15, Pal 15, shoot through everything. You can do that with 2 models, and it's just as efficient, if not more so.
Well, I think people were trying to do with the Kaelissa list the other day was do the kind of janky, you know, feedback, or is it backlash with Mage Hunter's idea. It was really funny. My favorite thing, I mentioned it last week, but against Tim, someone cast it
on
a Lancer, and then they killed the Lancer outright after like 4 attacks. Well,
Kaelissa shot it first after she put the spell on it. And then he goes, okay, and he picked up 3 dice for his damage and rolled trip 6s and, like, blew out almost half the body on the jack.
So, I mean,
poor guy.
That's really funny. That's pretty excellent.
You're talking about those Mage Hunter Strike Force guys, you know, backlashing the jacks and whatnot. Those guys scare me just on their own, at least from a Kirk's perspective. Those guys get on a flank, all 10 of them or more if you have the UA. Just them pinging my caster to death, ignoring all my focus and all that crap, that scares the shit out of me more than any caster in the Retribution
Army. Well, in that game that...
At least your casters have a little higher defense, so
they do.
To hit.
That's absolutely correct.
That game that Jason,
they seem to roll those 9s than I need them to.
The game that Jason was referencing, where my Lancer was destroyed, the next turn, like he just kind of didn't really move them up at all because he was afraid of getting a chain lightning to the face, mm-hmm. which I probably would have done. But he could have moved them up and probably just as well shot Nemo, regular Nemo, directly and killed him.
Yeah, and I think that there's a. I mean, sorry to get off topic as far as the casters, but with the Mage Hunter Strike Force, something I'd like to see out of them is them charging more jacks. 4 mm-hmm. die, pow 9s. That's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. I have never seen it, and I'm very surprised. I feel like that's something I would want to do. And the second thing is you can't rely on them to kill casters. I've seen people go after the casters, unless you're playing Raven, giving them boosted attacks on the feed turn. People have shot at my casters, and even at defense, you know, 14, you still need 8s. So it's like that's like the low end of – pretty much the low end of defense, you know, barring the extremes.
Well, like what happened to me even is I was playing against Jason and he sniped him, but he wasn't able to get all of them in range for his V attack. So he only got like 5 shots on Kurios and then 2 or 3 of them missed.
Yeah.
And then that's it. You know, I was able to, I basically feed it, knocked it down and took care of a lot of them and other stuff. And that's kind of the problem with them. There is 12 of them, and they can spread way out, but you've got to get all of them within range to even get that assassination tipped off. Absolutely.
The one that we really haven't talked about at all, to speed it along, is Ron. I want to read his first sentence, or his first 2 sentences, because to me, this is just what really ticks me off, in my opinion. A lot of people have said Ron would be our scenario caster, and his problem is simple. He has no feet. Arguably, the most powerful thing in the game is knocking someone down to drop their defense. He has one of the premier spells for doing that, and on his feet turn he can cast it twice. You can run someone and then slam them over their caster, or you can just go right for their caster. Boosted eights. What's the range on that spell?
12 under the feet.
On the feet, so it's range 8, 12 with the feet.
No, the plus 2 ranged a non-channeled spell, so directly from Ryan.
Oh, so it's 10. Okay.
10 up to a 12. With
okay.
Boosted eights. That's so pretty good. So,
yeah, with boosted eights. And what's the pow of it? 15?
12.
It's only pow 12?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's pow 12, and we all know that, you know, those can kill people. But with the amount of range that these guys have in their army, I can't see why they can't, you know, light someone up. The Invictors or the House Guard Riflemen, in my opinion, are the best. Because the Invictors, they have a pow 12, right?
Range 10, pow 12, I believe.
And their mini feat is plus 4 range. So you're being able to, once you knock them down, a unit of Invictors should be able to mop up almost any caster. And if you're looking at the high end of armor, you know, you can combine also with the House Guard Rifleman, who you can actually use the House Guard Rifleman as tier list if you want to go that way. I think that people are looking at him as, hey, you know, we only have 2 different kinds of mages in our army, so his feat can't be that effective. Well, you got to think about him. The solo is stupid awesome. I love him. And the unit, I would not use. If I were him, I would
use 2 solos.
What's the pow on the Stormfall?
The Stormfall, depending on what they use.
Oh, yeah, you can get 3 die pow 12s on them once you knock them down.
Yep.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that.
And range what? 12, pow 12,
so
AOE 3.
2 points for mm-hmm. 3 of 4 of them?
No, it's
3 points for 4 of them?
5 points for
oh,
4
Oh, it's 5?
It's 5.
Okay.
Yeah, they're expensive, but they're also
field allowance, too.
And what's the range in those?
12.
If you want the 3 die.
If you want the 3 die, or you can do 2 die and get a range 16.
Do they have Arcing Fire?
No.
Okay.
But I think that if you're going to go all out, if you want to bring the mages, you can move things around.
Mm-hmm.
So you can clear the lane for them if you want
maybe,
to shoot.
Maybe there's the benefit of using those mages on his feet turn. It's not killing stuff. It's they boost and then push stuff and get them out of the way.
Genius. I like it. But I just think that Ron...
I think he's the subtle caster of all of them. I think he's got tricks that people haven't really figured out yet.
You want to know the...
I bought him because he's my favorite, and that's the army I want to build. And I don't even necessarily mean with the tiered list with, like, you know, a bajillion mage hunter or battle mage units.
And he's got the no charge spell, right?
Polarity shield.
Stupid spell, especially for retribution. Then you've got telekinesis. Hello, that's also awesome. Then you've got force field.
Force right? field.
An excellent spell as well. And then plus, one thing that I think people have not really thought about is he's a 14-16 with 8 focus. If you camp on 8 focus, they're 14, 16, it's 24. I mean, there's not many people that can get 24 armor when you're camping on all your focus. It's going to be really hard to punch through them if someone wants to deny you that.
Exactly.
He also has beatback and crit smite if he has to. You don't want him in there, but if he had to get in there to do it, he could, you know, potentially crit somebody away if he slammed them.
If you're lucky.
And then hit them with a spell if he doesn't.
If you're lucky enough to charge or hit something and slam it over the caster and then feet, then you unload spells on them.
I got a question. What's his mat 6?
Mat 6.
And he's got reach, and what's his speed? 5 or 6?
Speed 5.
Okay, so, I mean, he's still got a 10-inch threat range with 8 focus. If you want to get in there and try to kill someone, you can. Just, I mean, yeah, mat 6 isn't the greatest, but... I've seen people like Severius kill people, and he's mat 4 mm-hmm. with
5, baby.
11. Who? Severius?
I have Menoth, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, sure. With I. So, yeah, he goes up to a mat 5, pow 12. He's a pow 14, we said? That's
You mean
his
Ron?
Weapon, yeah.
He's 12.
Oh, he's only pow 12. Okay. So, I mean, with a pow 12, still, you can kill things.
I've noticed in Mark 2 a lot of the more arcane-oriented casters, like Nemo's. And Ron, they're like usually around the 12 to 13 range. You don't see them much higher than that.
But I really like that he has 16s. But thanks a lot. And like I said, he's got a blog called Yellow Dice on the IABN. Check it out. He seems to have a lot of great ideas. So.
Mm-hmm. Was that our last email?
Yeah,
I think so. Well, Jason had some about some endowment or enlargement type stuff.
And not funds.
Are you keeping that under wrap for now?
I like how an Awesome Powers of the Cock Pump has a British flag on it.
Oh, it's Swedish. Not sorry, mine, Swedish. Baby. Swedish. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, it is a Swedish penis enlarger.
But just because it's Swedish doesn't mean you put if it's made in America, you don't put a big flag on it. American flag.
How did this get in here? I swear, baby, it's not mine.
One book, The Swedish Penis Enlargement. It really is my bag, baby, by Austin Powers.
Austin not my bag, Danger baby. Powers.
So,
moving on.
Moving on to the.
Actually, I wanted to quickly talk about the new plastic kits that came out. We didn't discuss those too much, did we?
Nope. Well, we mentioned that a couple of people have put, like, some YouTube videos up.
Oh, right, right, yeah. So after I watched Larkin Vanes, I actually know him from the Pulp City forums more than anything else, but he had put up a video of how he magnetized his. I think he went through all of them except maybe the Crix Heavy. But so I bought some magnets immediately after I saw that video. I purchased the Crix Heavy Jack and the Protectorate Heavy Jack, and I went through and magnetized those, and it turned out to be very easy, really easy to do, and it's cool. You can little play Mr. Potato Head with your jacks.
Did you, like make that. A seether with an Inferno Mace and a Templar Shield?
I had it wasn't a seether, but I did have a Cyclone Cannon. It was like the Templar with a Reaper Harpoon and stuff like that, yeah. So it's actually really easy to do. I used K and J magnetics, I think, or something like that. Whatever Larkin used. And those work really well. I just bought a few different sizes.
How much was it for the magnets, you think?
I bought a total of 150 magnets, and that was like 14 and some change. The shipping was a third of the price, like $7.
And how much did you actually use of those magnets?
Hang on, let me count it up real quick. So let's say for the protector at one.
Like you used a third of them? I mean.
Hang on.
I doubt that. I bet he used 20, 25 times.
Maybe. It's one in each. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You should probably cut out the.
I may have used maybe a dozen per jack or so. I think that's just a rough count real quick. You know, a few for each arm, one in the head if you actually wanted to do the heads, and then one per head and so on. But it doesn't take too many. Just my one thing I would want to stress is make sure, triple check that you put the correct polarity in the magnets before you make sure that they're glued in tight twice. Oopsie. And they happen to both be on the Crix Jack, I think. I had to dig out a magnet that was reversed.
That's hilarious.
Sucks, how I magnet. Oh, go ahead.
I just had a question. I don't know if you know the answer to this. Can you paint over the magnet when you're painting it?
Or yeah. I ended up priming over them.
Over it.
The thing is, you have to be careful of, like, for example, for the Templar, his left arm that he shares with the Crusader, I sunk the two little baiting magnets into two of the spikes so that the shield would clamp on, and then I try to hide him in the spike so you wouldn't really see him. The primer and whatever paint I put on might eventually... The primer is definitely worn away. After I seal it, I don't know if the paint would chip away, but plan on the magnets being exposed, I would think.
At some point, yeah.
And the shoulders, it's not going to matter because it's going to be covered up, but elsewhere it might not
what
be.
What I was planning on doing, actually, was I was going to cover them with, like, poster tack before I primed.
Okay.
And just so I didn't even paint around them.
Yeah, green stuff also works.
Oh, well, I mean, in the end, it didn't matter. I mean, it doesn't prevent the magnetization from happening, but yeah.
I actually bought 200 magnets, and I melted them all down.
Really?
And I just poured them all over my jacks, and they just stick together however I want. It's really excellent.
You know, I thought you would do that.
I did.
It matches that silver paint scheme you've been working on.
Yeah, I've been rocking that. It's been pretty excellent.
Absolutely.
Power of pewter.
That's right.
They're from the astral plane.
From the pewter plane?
So,
Maldron.
God damn it. Wait, I thought we were going to talk about... I was looking for the templates thing, but we didn't...
The templates. I didn't have templates. Yeah, we'll talk about them.
You can talk.
Tim, what about the templates? Make a retraction of an earlier statement?
Just start. Just go.
The Gale Force 9 templates are the correct shape and size, so I would promote those over the Privateer ones because blasphemy. The Privateer ones break.
The only difference is that I could tell is that the I can't even think right now, but the Gale Force 9 ones don't have like the height templates.
No, they just say small, medium, and large.
Do they actually say it? Because I didn't see it.
Yeah, SM and L.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Are the measurements identical in both templates?
Pretty close. I didn't measure them up. I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Guys, all I know is that the Gale Force 9 ones come in pretty colors.
They do.
You know I bought one.
I actually bought Horde's ones over War Machine ones because I don't like the holes in the middle of the templates.
I think it looks interesting, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I have the blue, the Draconic blue. I think you have the same, don't
you? Yep.
Because it's the prettiest. A lot of people are loving the Retribution teal because it's pretty much clear. I know AK has it, but at the same time, I couldn't find it the other day on the table. Because I'm colorblind, so it's even gonna blend. It's gonna blend in even more. I'm trying to find it, and then I would like put my hand over it.
So he's deaf, deaf, blind, and dumb.
Yeah, but he can talk.
Yes, he can.
So if we painted the walls teal and like wore all teal clothes and things, we could hide against it.
That would be never awesome. Know
we're there. We jump out and grab you.
So the other day, Horde's final field test rules.
Did they say that they were final? Dear.
They did not.
They didn't? I thought they said, yeah, they did.
Well, they're the ones that are going to be used for tournaments and things.
My guess is just like we found changes in the cards.
They could change right after.
We'll find changes in the cards.
This is the last posting of the rules.
It's the last official, unofficial.
It's the first posting post-field test.
No, it's the last time they'll post them before the...
Before TempleCon.
Before the cards come out.
Before cards come out.
They won't do another...
The cards won't come out for months. I bet you they'll release another one. I'll bet you after TempleCon, I bet you they'll drop one.
How much money?
A small sizable amount, because there are enough typos.
Sizable amount. What does that mean?
Well, it's all relative, right? So, but yeah, there are enough typos and glaring errors that they need to put another one up.
Josh knows all about small sizable things.
He does.
Oh. And because you always tell me about it, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, I can't help it that your wife complains to me about that.
Okay, that's enough burning touché. About penis size.
But what do you guys think? Oh, that's we've got all the factions laying around being lazy here. What tell me about Scorn. I mean, from what I know, you've just now started looking at it.
I get the feeling from our last conversation, Z, we're both pretty are you happy with Scorn?
Well, like I said, I only have been glancing at them so far, but I guess we could talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple of points, you know?
Okay, let's see. Morgul, back to 7 beast points. That's a good change, I think. They gave him sprint. I don't know if he had that in the previous version. But he has sprint along with his overtake now, so that's pretty nice. And abuse went back to the non-upkeep version, but I don't know if that was already done.
So he can sprint 8 inches, technically.
7.
But he has overtake, so can he kill, move, and then sprint?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah.
That's stupid.
That's a pretty speedy.
Well, technically,
fella.
It could be 9 because
you can run
kill,
away from
kill,
a counter jack,
kill well, inch, the, kill, and sprint.
Well, you wouldn't be able to do it in the same. Well, you could.
You have two attacks.
Two
why
models.
Can't you?
Yeah,
you could kill all the way down a line and then sprint away from
later.
It.
Exactly.
That's gonna
and
be
he
awesome.
Still has maltreatment, which allows him to get that 6th theory.
Did you read? Did you read into the beast? Like, what kind of beast changes were you really happy about?
Let's see. All right. Rolling over to the beast section.
How about that Rush Animus?
How about Rush? What the hell did they do? They nerfed
I
it.
Like
the beast.
I like
Why do you
it.
Like
I think
it?
It's a great change.
You only like it because the trolls got nerfed. That's the reason you like
no,
it.
No, I like it because
well,
I was
that's
only
that's
using
a big
it on my war beast anyways.
Okay. Well, so it's worse still. So
okay.
I used
it's
a
great
lot
for us
caches.
Because this makes us want to take more war beasts. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about war beasts real quick. Let's see.
Rhinodon, 7 points.
That's really cheap.
Dude, Rhinodon is awesome now.
I'm going to have to buy another one. I don't. Well, I gave the one I had. I donated the one I had last year, so now I got to buy one.
Moloch Karn's a Weapon Master. What do you guys think about
that?
Yeah.
I saw the 13 and I was very sad, and then I saw Weapon Master. I'm like, what the fuck?
Boost after the fact? Hells yes.
That's pretty sweet.
Let's see. The Drake stayed the same, except his Animus got dropped by one. Kriya is still the same. They didn't change anything from the looks of it. Her fatty self.
Real quick, Z. We're not going to go through everything just because we didn't want to spend too much time on it. Just
okay. Well, let's see. The Brute looks the same. The Savage's Animus got dropped by one to a 1 cost, which is nice. The Bronze Back saw a lot of changes, and I'm very happy with them. First of all, 33 hit points.
Holy crap. Sweet.
That's hot. That's like the second highest in the game.
Third.
Third.
Fourth, technically.
Not counting Kador.
No, because both World Wardens, Mold, and then him. He's fourth.
Okay, still, 33 is a beast amount. The new train wreck gives
it is
you
a beast.
Beat back, which is interesting.
And you notice it only affects Warbeast, so like you can't give it really to your Warlock or anything.
Right, so I'm not sure how that's going to work, but it's kind of interesting to see how that's going to work out. Some playtest will probably do us some good.
It'll be pretty sweet
nice
on
Maul Karn.
I think
it'd be pretty sweet
on the Rhinodon.
If you think about it, the Brood gets to hit a dude with the shield, push him an inch, hit him with the weapon, push him an inch, and he's no longer in melee. Perhaps,
yeah. I mean, I guess you could.
I don't know how useful that would be, but...
Yeah. And, well, if he's in base-to-base, he's not in melee, but if he kind of,
well,
like, steps back
move,
exactly,
yeah.
Just a hair.
A millimeter. Countercharge is amazing on him, and he has hyper-aggressive now, which means you can reposition for those countercharges.
So pretty much you've got a bunch of Kador rules.
That's hot.
I guess.
Yeah, that's true. He has Grab and Smash now. Wow.
They gave him Grab and Smash. They took it away from the Gladiator and put it on the Bronze Back, and I think that's a good change from Berserk.
I can't believe that they did that. That's pretty awesome. He's
And he's still 10 points of beat face.
What does his leadership do?
Automatic
passing
frenzy
checks.
Threshold checks.
So the Titan Herd
just became better.
Yeah. Oh, great. That's
like,
going to make our game at Daikon really fun.
Poor baby. Has a Weapon Master Cyclops now. Poor guy. Let's see. The Rhinodon's hot. The Cannoneer stayed exactly the same at 26 hit points.
Hey, remember that time that I said we're not going to go through all of them?
No.
Okay.
Well, the Beasts actually did see some changes. The Gladiator lost Grab and Smash.
I think these are the most important changes for the Scorn.
Yeah, for Scorn, these were the big ones.
These were the huge ones.
And these were the ones with the most contention, the most back and forth. Obviously, you have the Rush change. The only thing that changed on the Bronzeback was it kept the same cost and lost Grab and Smash, which is funny because it was the first model that had it, right? Or Smash and Grab, whichever order.
Something like that.
Yeah. obviously Malak Karn Weapon Master. His armor went back down to an 18, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Which is good.
You know what else is good?
What's that?
Your mom.
Pile plus strength 19 combo strike.
Yep.
Weapon Master combo strike.
With boosting after the fact.
Now remember, this unit was the bane of the argument from the last episode, the Immortals.
I think we're both happy with them now.
17.
That's cool.
Holy crap.
That's cool.
Holy look. We're almost Ancestral Guardians, thanks.
We're baby Ancestral Guardians. So yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Better than Ancestral Guardians.
Josh, what about Circle?
Well, I haven't even seen the new Ancestral Guardians.
Yeah, what about Circle, Josh? What happened? Circle, why is the Whirlpool still broken? Tell me what.
Whirlpool's just fine. You just shut your mouth. Kaya, people are crying over Kaya because she can no longer Spirit Door to something and then attack.
Welcome to Gorshade. Oh, sorry.
And I have no problem with Gorshade, Soulgate, or Epica, or Kaya's.
The yo-yo is still stupid powerful.
99% of the time when I used it, it was to pull things back anyway. You put something up, you slam it forward, and you yank it back.
I've never been killed by Kaya in melee. And whenever they did that, I usually clapped a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, yay, Kaya's
Yeah, people
here.
Who are saying that she lost her only assassination attempt vector or whatever, they're goofballs.
Now you go, I pull my Warp Wolf back into the Shifting Stones, who then heal it.
I will say, sure. The one trick that I liked with Kaya that I saw a lot that you can't do anymore, this is what I think is more unfortunate, you can't Spirit Door a Warp Wolf into combat and then...
Yeah, you can't do that. That's correct.
That's what they're complaining about, yeah.
So no, I guess you just have to rely on the super speed.
They're complaining about Kaya. Anyway.
You just have to rely on the stupid, dumb +2 to attack rolls.
Yeah, or you take a Gnarlhorn to give him the +2. Gnarlhorn's Animus Bounding only applies to Warbeasts now. It wasn't on anything else. So, you know, it's a little more Warbeast-centric that way.
They did that a lot.
Yeah, they did. And I think that's fine. Epic Kai is still a little goofy.
But what other changes?
Chromac now cannot cast spells ever.
What?
Because he has Beast Mind in human form.
Oh, he does?
Yes, and so I'm assuming they're going to fix that. But Baldur has solid ground. He turned into a dwarf.
Yeah.
He has solid ground?
He lost Earth's Blessing. Earth's Blessing went to the World Watcher's Animus, and he gained solid ground.
What? Earth's Blessing is an excellent Animus, by the way.
It's only self. It's only self.
Oh,
but it's one fury.
It is, yeah.
That's cool. That's great for your
cast. Speaking of the World Watcher, he can force for stone form now. So he can do that and attack and whatever.
Oh, except for Kreos gets rid of
Kreos will just purify it away. But
Dick.
Yeah, there's no getting around that.
Speaking of purification, Epic Warlock lost that.
Yay.
Haha.
Stupid.
Nerf the trolls.
The Horlocks are awesome now.
Yeah,
not that they were bad before, but
the Horlocks are awesome. I want to talk about how, as far as trolls are concerned.
Well, wait, we're not done with the circle yet. The Druid UA got the Devouring.
Druid UA got the Devouring.
Hello.
But he lost a lot of their cool abilities. I don't know.
Are they still immune to fire?
Only if he does a special action. He has to do a special action.
Oh, he has a special action to do it?
Sweet.
We got to hold up a second. We missed one very important thing.
What's that?
The Ancestral Guardian crazy changed.
Why?
He's defense 10 now.
Uh-huh.
Why is that crazy?
And he used to be a 12.
Sure.
And he has defensive strike instead of...
Retaliatory strike?
Did they get rid of retaliatory strike completely?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So does the hero have defensive strike? Will we go ahead and queue that one up, please?
Hang on. We'll see that in a second. The Ancestral Guardian has steady now.
Can't be knocked down.
So,
Cannot be knocked down.
It's not really a big deal.
And Zol can transfer damage to
him. And they have 10 hit points.
He has Retaliatory Strike still. So Retaliatory Strike did not go away.
The thing about Defensive Strike is it works like Mark 1 Forefend where you have to enter end. So if you stand there and end your movement, you still don't get the Defensive Strike.
Still not a Weapon Master, but at least he's Powers plus Gen 13.
I don't know if he's 3 points good, though.
Yeah. I think he is 3 points good.
I need to test
a handful
it a little
of
bit.
Attacks, I mean.
So what do you think about Legion over there, Dave?
Not happy, but it's all right.
But why?
It's playable. I think that Privateer Press is overestimating some of the abilities that they were taking away. They've made things playable, but I don't think that a lot of the Legion stuff is on the level as like the Trolls in the Circle. I think the Legion is solidly down in number 3, maybe 4, as far as strength goes, below both Circle and Trolls.
What about why the fuck does the Tariff still suck?
He got +1 rant. That doesn't make him that great.
Nope.
Doesn't make him good.
Because Privateer Press doesn't want to actually sell Tariff models.
I know. I don't get it. You'd think that there's so many of them out there.
You sound bitter.
I don't even play Legion. I'm a little bitter about the Tariff.
I think we all are. I just like to give Dave crap.
I think it's cool. Like, they did give, it wasn't all, shit. It was actually a few roses. I mean, like Serpentine, you can't be knocked down now, which is actually
Repulsion
really cool.
On Angelii.
Yep.
What?
That's
their Animus is Repulsion now.
He's the Blitzer.
Wow, they just want to take all the trolls' animi and give them to everyone. Awesome.
Legion.
Hey, hey.
Also,
you're not the first War Beast faction in the game, buddy.
Also, War Chiefs.
The what?
And Warmongers. Both their costs drop to 5/8. They're cheap.
And the War Chief bucks buffs them both.
But they only have Terror now, don't they?
Yeah. Yes. That's actually okay, though.
Yeah, you're not going to scare
them. Yeah, I'm not worried about that. I mean, they have reach, so it's still if you're within 2 inches. That's just a 1-inch loss of that bubble.
Well, Epic Thagrash and the Legionnaires.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cadre Fearless.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something.
Yeah. What did regular Thagrash got? He got something.
Attuned with Legion models
and Battle Brute. Well, he got Attuned Spirit and absolutely lost it.
I'm okay with
she
that.
She still is resourceful, though, which is really
right,
nice.
Yeah.
I think that was more of her important thing than the free anima.
And in Saren's Foreboding doesn't affect magic attacks anymore. It only prevents regular attacks. I think that was a step too far, personally.
Yeah, because it's only her in her battle.
Right? Yeah. That's a little much.
Except she still has the +2 defense and no blast damage.
But she also lost Equilibrium.
So she could die in a fire.
And she lost Mirror Magic. So, I mean,
really? What does she have?
Nothing.
She gains Thunder Spirit.
Banishing Wardens.
She has Banishing Wardens.
Lilith is Fury 7.
Banishing Ward's pretty sweet, though. But
they should give her Crippling Grasp.
It's not as good as...
Did I say
what was that?
Shut up, Tim.
Lilith has Fury 7. What the hell?
No, she doesn't.
Oh, wait. That's a speed. My bad.
Wow.
Sorry, Dave.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, that's
but,
cool.
I think kind of cool on the like interesting side, the Vale's ranged weapon, the Reckless, has guided now, like Providence on the Harbinger. It auto-hits.
Oh, now it is the Hellraiser Ball.
Now it is, yep.
So how many boxes does the Hellion have?
I don't know. I've looked at it.
Probably 8 or 10.
I think it has
probably.
8. Doesn't it?
Hang on.
Head it has 10.
The Shepherd.
Has 10. Oh, that's weird. So, like, Tina Turner on top of a freaking flimsy-ass Hellion has more boxes than Orthal on
his doesn't have a dismount.
The Shepherd.
You get a dismount.
Don't care.
The Shepherd lost its boxes, but at armor 11, that's not that big of a deal.
It's so sad.
No.
I mean, it's still 1 point. That's awesome.
No, the Shepherd's totally worth it. I want a Shepherd. I'll trade you.
The Spawning Vessel got a little bit of a change.
It's my suggested change about being 2 inches away and can move it. I think that will help it a bit.
There's a problem with that, though.
It can spawn Carnivians now.
When the models die, it gets corpse tokens, but it has to spend blood tokens.
Yep. How many blood tokens
does
the Shredder
cost? Issue.
That's right awesome. There. It's on the paper.
How many blood tokens does the Shredder cost?
They all cost
they all
three,
cost
right?
Three, yeah.
What if you got to spend as many blood tokens as a war beast, a non-unique war beast costs? So you can spend 11 to get a Carnivian.
That'd or spend sweet. 2 and get a Shredder?
Yeah. That'd be sweet.
Can you imagine the Carnivian trying to crawl out of the,
pot?
How did I get in here?
It'd start out as a Shredder. And
yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. It grows after
that. Typhon got some more life. That was kind of cool. So, I mean, like, a couple beefs got beefs.
Got beefed.
A little bit.
It's the casters mainly, right?
Yeah. Legionnaires lost a POW and an armor, which isn't that big of a deal. I mean, they're still really cheap as hell. I can't wait to see their unit attachment because they're going to get one eventually.
Yeah.
Well, I think every unit will have an attachment at some point. Just kind of way the game's built.
Yeah, thumper unit attachment.
But I think that they went a little bit too far with some of the warcasters in my mind.
I agree. I think that was where Legion got struck the hardest.
Thumper UA is going to make them inaccurate.
I mean, I look at some of the stuff that some of the other guys can do. Like the other factions, and I think that they just got more built-in combos than the Legion does in the Warlocks now.
I think it's interesting that, like, you know, the biggest complaint a lot of people had about Legion in Mark 1 was the whole double Angeli eye coming through and ignoring everything, and now it can do that again. I mean, it takes all its fury just about to do it, but it can push everything away with repulsion and go in and then thrust.
Well,
it takes a little more effort and work. Yeah,
how about,
I know,
it's
but
a useful animus.
I think you'll see it more in play now.
What's up?
Did Epic Thagrash's feat only say melee attack before?
No, that's new. It used to be any attack. Now it's only melee.
I think that's okay, though. Now it's more like Epic Striker's feat.
It's not that big of a deal. I didn't see too much shooting with it.
What are you talking about, dude? Carney sprays under his freaking...
Or Typhon.
Ugh.
I know, the attacks are better. Spray. Their melee attacks are better, though. So, I mean, yeah.
So how about those trolls?
Trolls, they came out all right. There were some bad changes, some good changes. I'm really upset that Epic Madrak didn't change. I thought he needed some change. We got Snapfire on regular Madrak, which makes it kind of
a ricochet.
Kind of. You can't move it 4 inches, though, out of his range. So, but a good change to Crushers to stop the Mulg 2-inch move shenanigans. It now just says you gain Overtake, so Mulg's not going to move 2. He's only going to move 1. I really like the spell Battering Ram he got.
That was cute.
It doesn't matter what it is. It's just not Stonefall. So
it costs two PAL 12. That's not bad.
Yeah, whatever. It's something.
It's range it's an arc six.
Bolt.
Who cares?
Or what do you? What's the term you use for that? Z a Zot spell?
Yeah, it's a Zot. It's a fuck.
I don't even know what that means, but okay.
Well, it's only range six though.
Yeah,
that's okay. Actually,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me because it's not Stonefall. Stonefall never worked.
It could be the worst spell in the world as long as it's not Stonefall.
Dude, it costs Stonefall costs four because you have to boost.
They should have gave him Earthquake.
Crit, it's never worth it.
They should have gave him Earthquake.
So, yeah.
Achievement Obliteration.
Epic Madrax the same. Epic Horlock had a couple of changes. He has great power, so now he can upkeep a spell just like he could in Mark 1. He lost Purification and gained Banishing Ward. And then he also gained Hex Blast. So, or no, he lost Purification and gained Hex Blast. So, you know, interesting change. His feet also had a change. I'm not quite sure of it. Someone told me it did, though. It's each time for each focus or fury point they spend while in his control area.
So forcing doesn't trigger it then.
Yes, that's right. It's not on beasts, so it doesn't work on beasts.
That's okay though. I mean, that's still that makes him more.
Yeah, every fury point that a beast gets causes it a d6.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So just worded differently. It's just worded differently
because
now.
It was really good, especially against like shredders. Because they just killed themselves. Sometimes.
They just died.
No, like, oh, I'm gonna go rabbit. Oh, I have no face. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good changes. So. A really good change too, as far as cheatiness is concerned, is Befuddle. It is now only model instead of model unit. It's a good change, I think.
I still don't like powerful. The fact that somebody can move my model.
Oh, I'm touching.
I.e., touching it.
I'm gonna eat a piece of pizza.
I'll move it for them. I don't mind doing that.
Actually, I do want to talk about one guy who just changed. Well, first of all. Grim gained Arcane, or he gained True Sight, which is good, but he lost Hunter, so he can't see through forests anymore. But he can always cross-country himself to see through forests.
Boo.
He's good.
Let's talk about Borka, though, real quick.
Both, that's
still good. Humongous amount of changes.
Holy shit. 7 Fury. What the hell?
Okay, so his feat is not as good. It's only when you charge, slam, or trample, so that sucks. But he has immunity cold. He is unyielding, so he's arm 19 in combat. And under the stone, he's arm 21. So that's stupid. He also gained Iron Flesh, which is arguably one of the best spells.
Sick.
So you can get him into combat and cast Iron Flesh on yourself. Your defense 17, armor 21 under the stone. He also has Wind Wall and didn't lose Mosh Pit, the one spell that was controversial.
I can't believe they didn't get rid of Mosh Pit.
It did go, I think it was only two before.
Was it three?
But let's talk about why it doesn't matter that these spells cost three. Because if you go to the next page, you notice that the Keg Carrier.
Seven Fury.
The Keg Carrier gives you two Fury. As well as Stumbling.
Is that,
and it doesn't say does not.
Where's
go
the two fury
maximum.
Part? I don't know where it's at.
It's in
his
top
special
off.
Action.
I don't have it copied.
He had
handy.
Two. He used to have two abilities. Now they're just together. One. And instead of one fury, it's two fury.
That's.
But he can only.
So
use
he will
it on
kill
the
you. He did lose
now.
A pal on his weapon, but
Party Foul's back.
We gained Party Foul, which is kind of cool. It's
Berserk.
Yeah, it's Berserk. But you can't make chain attacks, so that kind of sucks. Because I really like bringing the Mauler with him to chain attack, grab and smash under his feet. So. We'll see how that goes, but people are going to want to kill him, so I think Party Foul is going to happen. But other than that, Fenblade's gained a speed and cost one more, but that's a good change, I think. They also
Holy
gained
crap.
Vengeance.
Vengeance.
Whammo. Thumper,
Eric
also a great nerf, in my opinion, and needed
I think
it.
Vengeance is
what
being thrown
it's
around a little too much.
It's medium base only, and it's...
so there's vengeful people in this world.
Inches, slam. So, it's. I think those are good. Burwers gained point blank, an excellent fix for them. That way, you know, they didn't need that stupid thing that they had in the first iteration.
And, plus two to hit shenanigans and all that.
And
nonsense.
Now I think you're going to see the Burwers more than the Bushwhackers.
Bushwhackers are pretty sweet for 5/8. They're long gunners. I mean,
I know, but I think you'll see.
You keep
I think
saying that, but they don't get two shots.
Who cares?
People who play long gunners and realize that that's actually huge.
Okay, fine. They're House Guard riflemen. How about that?
With bushwhack.
They have bushwhack, and they're speed six, and they have
Except short and bumpily versus
and they're
tall
tough.
And they're tough.
Spindly.
That's the thing. You can't, like, lob an AoE and expect to kill them all. So, final change I want to talk about, Horthal. For some reason, he's the only only Cav model with 8 boxes on his mount, even though he has the most armor and the biggest mount. It makes no sense whatsoever. But
it's
on a positive
because
note,
he's not compensating like the rest of them.
On a positive note, he's better than he was because he gained Linebreaker and gives it to the Cav. Our Cav are now the best Cav. Probably in the game.
And they still have 8 wounds. Why?
Because
I know. We're not going into that argument.
Because Horthal gave some wounds to give.
Yes, I wasn't here for that argument. I don't want to hear it.
You know, like how Adam gave a few ribs to make, you know, Eve?
Right.
Horthal gave a few ribs to make the Long Riders.
There you go. Thank you very much. So,
were they buffalo ribs?
So impact attacks are just come
barbecue style.
So that is a simple wrap up. Any minion talk?
Feral Geist blows. I own three, and if anybody wants to buy them, just let me know.
Well, hold on. You remember, we've already gone through this. I've already sold all my feral guys from the first time they nerfed them back in Mark 1.
Rorsch and Brine.
Rorsch and Brine.
Rorsch and Brine's nice.
Excellent.
Like and Brine.
They got cheaper, got dig in, got some.
Totem Hunter lost AD, right?
Yeah. Oh no.
Speed 7 lost AD.
With Prey, that's actually speed 9.
I actually have a question. We were talking about putting Bushwhack on him earlier. Jump says, after using normal movement, but before performing an action.
So you
can
jump.
Can you jump and then bushwhack, though, because you're not going to be performing an action? Okay.
Because that would have been hilarious. It's not after your movement, though.
I think it's still solid.
You take your movement after you bushwhack. You make a full. You take your movement to do a full advance. Isn't that how it reads?
You take your movement second.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you cannot jump and then bushwhack, correct?
Correct, because it's not after your movement.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah, it's kind of, really funny how it kind of negates that.
It does,
It really does specifically negate
because that. Moving 14, isn't good enough.
Yeah, no, it's not. You need to move 19. And I'm on a point across the board.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Corona.
What about Saxon Orc?
Saxon Orc has a Pathfinder bubble.
What the hell?
I need to paint him now.
He works for the Protectorate.
Oh, he sure does.
He works for everyone by what, Signar?
Yep, Signar and
Legion.
He works for Crix? Hey, Manthral's with freaking Pathfinder.
Or Biles. Don't have to worry about those.
I seem to have already have a fully painted Saxon Auric from somewhere. Where did I get that from?
Oh,
that's right. I wanted a Daikon. Hey, what army are you guys giving away this year?
I don't know, but are you
What would you like?
Yeah, there you go.
What would I like? I could use anything, really.
See, I'm going to single-handedly stop you this time. I'm not going to play a weak faction.
Wait, single-handedly?
So play trolls?
Yeah. My wife is calling me an arrogant bastard right now.
Z could use a medal from the first Mark II Hardcore.
I could definitely use that.
I'm going for
sorry. The one he wants is mine.
Oh wait! I don't want your stupid. I can finish in a minute and a half.
Yeah, whatever.
That's what she said.
That's what she. I was going to say.
Oh, yet she was still satisfied.
Tim's proud of being able to finish in 131.
So
that was actually quite a feat for him. That was longer than he's ever lasted before.
Tim popped his feet and did it in 131.
Oh, and I'm done.
How about any other minions?
But yes, my wife is calling me a braggart because I'm bragging about winning at Daikon again.
There you go.
That's okay. Well,
say hi, honey.
She can brag.
Hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
She can.
Yes, we actually have women.
How you doing?
In War Machine.
She can call you a braggart if you actually do pick one up, which it won't happen, so it doesn't matter.
Let's see. What army could I use? I could use a Protectorate army. I don't have one of those yet.
I'll just put mine up.
You should bring your... the army you won last year to play in hardcore this year.
Oh.
I don't know if it'll fit.
What?
I don't know if it'll
fit. Oh, that's right. It was a 750. We don't know if it's pointed right.
It'll fit. No, it won't. There's lots of
Just force it in. I've never had any complaints about that.
Just force it in if it doesn't fit.
Alton Ashley also changed a lot with Monster Hunter.
I kind of like how it's only a D6 instead of wiping out the entire aspect. I like that.
It's good. It's still good.
I don't think he's his auto-include anymore, but that's a good change,
I think. He is Rat 8, though. So
he is, yeah.
He will shoot you.
I don't think he needed Swift Hunter, though. Seems a little odd.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
for two, in my opinion, he's 2 points.
I think he's
going to
be
solid.
Great at hitting casters. With
I think
top
he's
12s.
Like the Shredder Harrier
Rat 8,
killer.
Rat 12 is not bad.
Yeah. It's very good.
I mean, it's range 14. Yeah. That's a Rat 8 range 14 punch.
I know. It's going to be like a Widowmaker solo, except for it's going to have armor piercing.
Oh,
I mean,
that's a high five.
Yeah. At 2 points, that's not necessarily bad, even to put like in a Protectorate list to sit back 14 inches and drop somebody.
Does that come out next week?
No, the Signar book and Sloan are supposed to be next week.
But
I cannot wait.
Do we know all the release dates? Like physical?
No,
release
we don't. Or? But if other places already have the book, I have to assume the book is next week at least.
Yeah, probably.
And so. I would think Sloan. Well, she's in the book, so we know that. But I would think she'll be that week too.
Cool.
All right, is that it for the Horde stuff?
Absolutely. I think we went over.
We didn't talk about
points.
One specific thing.
What's that?
The fact that. They are going to sell so many Saxon Oryx. Like, can I have two in my army?
No.
I want two. One on each side of the flank.
I don't think Circle players are going to buy any.
No, they have enough Pathfinder to go around.
Well, they don't have Pathfinder Warbeast. This is friendly models, period.
That's why they have the Argus. It's a one-point Animus. It's
who gives
brilliant.
You circular vision out of Xanum, so you put it on the Lord of the Feast, and then when he does his Blood Reaper mini thresher
oh
kind
my
of thing,
God.
He like swings around like
oh, I heard
a,
he
like
got even better, too. Did he?
I think he is
points.
Better.
He can do, it's not Thresher, but it's essentially Thresher before he Ravens. And then he can buy more attacks after that.
He's 4 points, though.
He's 4 points.
He's worth 4 points, though.
I don't know. That's steep, because he can go down.
It's too much of an auto-include, I think.
Saxon Orc. 2 points. Dismember, so Weapon Master against Beasts. And it's a POW 10 sword.
The Skinning Knife.
He's still got the POW 8 knife that he can add or remove a Fury Point.
He's going to wear troll ears.
Range 10, POW 11 military rifle. So an Idrian gun. Takedown. No Tough for models he kills. The whole reconnaissance, which is Pathfinder to all friendly models in his command, which nine is inches. 9 inches.
Sick.
And sick, blind sick, spot, sick. Which is basically the if a beast misses him, he attacks back.
You may have said it, but the stealth 15. Is huge for me.
Yeah, it's AD fearless stealth.
Well, and he's got a decent rifle too. I mean, it's a trencher rifle.
Rat, and he's Rat 7, Mat 7.
Yeah, Grim he's always been solid.
Now, how weird is
who
that?
Does
Grim?
Yeah,
that's because he's Boba Fett. He will get his prey every time.
What if he had prey?
No disintegration.
What if Grim had prey? How? Sweet
what if his feet gave
him?
Like his battle group prey?
What? No. What if? No. What I if like Grim had prey? That'd be the coolest feat ever. I would let him be Rat 6 if he had prey.
I would be fine with Rat 5 if he had prey.
I'd be fine with Rat 4 if he had prey.
I'll do you one better.
What?
Rat 3 and next topic.
Oh. Okay, Rat 0.
And guided.
No. And guided. Wait, shit. There's that echo again.
I will give him Rat 3 and the Harbinger Sword.
There you go.
No.
So, like we were saying, these are the...
And the Reculus.
These are the rules that are supposed to be used this year, unless they make more updates. So, go get it downloaded, memorize it, and if you're playing at TempleCon, memorize it soon.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. It's
I have a quick shout-out to Lonely Monk.
I think
Monk.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw Lonely Monk making some terrain in a few pictures.
So I got a shout-out for Lonely Monk. Hey, buddy, I'm going to have those lists ready for you by tomorrow.
Excellent. There you go. Which will be a Thursday? You're going to have it ready for Thursday?
No. Yes. by tomorrow, I mean
Friday
the 1st.
There you go. Oh, so he will already have had them, so your shout-out
so, hey, yeah.
That was an
through the
fail.
Magic of time travel.
We also still
let's
get
gun it up to 88.
We need to get our TempleCon t-shirt out
to
our
people who are here.
I already care of that.
Oh, did you?
Lonely
okay, cool.
Monk
let me,
is my representative at TempleCon. His scorn list is my scorn list.
There you go. Well, if you also if you have any ideas on you know the field test final that came out, go ahead and email us. Or if you disagree with something we say, we'd love to hear about it too.
You know, people on the boards are really upset. I would love to get some hate mail on this so we could read it.
What yeah. on what?
Hate mail. Do
hate
it.
Mail.
Ship it.
The yeah. hordes hate mail.
Yeah, you'd like to give us like your top 5, 10 things that you hate.
Yeah,
you, maybe
top
even
7.
Top
rant,
things you yeah. love.
Rant about it, but be funny. That'll get it on the. That'll get it on the air.
Josh will put on the air if it's
a real
wait,
reason,
wait,
but it's kind
funny,
of amusing at
the
same time.
There you go.
I can't believe that Grim Angus did not get snacking. Look how fat that bastard is, how much he eats.
Calandra has snacking.
Oh, yeah.
I want, I want Grim Angus's card to be a misprint, so it says Rim Anus.
I'm going to – what it is gonna, the keg slayer is just going to cut off the barrel and put like a bag of potato chips in his arm instead.
There you go.
And like he runs ahead of Bork, and Bork runs deep up.
Make it look like a deep fryer instead of a keg.
It's awesome. You know when I was in college, I lived at the fraternity house, and we had a commercial deep fryer?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was awesome.
Yeah, I deep fried cookies once. It was pretty awesome.
You ever had a deep fried Twinkie?
Yeah.
Oh, they're
yeah,
not very good.
We did lots of deep fried corn dogs.
We did cookies. It didn't work very well.
That sounds wrong.
Captain Crunch.
So,
except that if you put it in too long and it kind of shrank, it would fall through the grates of the deep fried basket.
Last week.
Deep fried Dave.
I was about to say, Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
So last week we talked a lot about our resurgence, even though Tim wasn't here. Loser.
I had no voice. What do you expect?
But
not much.
We do have someone else who's been surging or want to surge. He's been a press ganger, so he can't really play in the resurgence.
He hasn't just been surging. He has been resurging.
He's been resurging.
Oh.
But
he needs a surge protector.
He made us a list.
He drinks surge.
It's a new war beast, the surge protector.
Surge, you remember surge? Oh, my God.
I remember surge, yeah.
I hated that stuff.
I drank that in fourth grade.
Wasn't it like nuclear green? It was sort of like Mountain Dew, except not.
It was like mellow yellow, but it tasted nasty.
Oh, I loved it. But, Z, you said you've made us a list, and we're going to go through a little progression through what maybe you would have played in a certain scenario. Starting with 35 and moving on to 50, is that right?
Yep, that is right.
Cool. What faction did you go with?
I would take my Crixian hordes.
Cool.
Because, I mean, let's face it, Crix is the best faction out there, so there's no question as to why not taking Crix, right?
Sure.
There you go.
See?
Crix
makes sense.
Crix is the best faction from the Shard Isles. I'll give it that.
You heard it here first.
There's a reason why the next league takes place in the Shard Isles with that badass.
Because you got lost and couldn't find your boats to leave, so everyone had to come to you to fight.
The new Warcaster is Torak.
Yes, Torak's toenail.
He has Providence, but...
No, it's his right nut, since the left nut is the Egregore.
He has Providence that auto-hits, except for his strength is 200.
Hey, Z, what's your list?
All right, so my 35-point list would be regular Scar, Pirate Queen Scar, with two Defilers, a Reaper, a Slayer, a Scarlock, a full squad of Mechanithralls, full squad of Satixis Raiders with the Sea Witch, and a Necrotech with a Scrap Thrall.
What is the command on the Mech Thralls now?
Six, I think.
Six or seven.
So do you think there's going to be any problem bunching up that full unit? I mean,
not really.
Do you like one full Mech Thrall as opposed to two minimums?
Yes, I do.
What's the cost on those guys?
Five.
It's a 3-5, 5 for 10. They're half a point each.
How much for six?
Three.
Half a point each.
Oh, okay.
So I think that they're awesome. The Mechanthralls, I don't think it's too small. 12-inch bubble is, or 13-inch bubble is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're a six, I'm pretty sure they're a seven, like, but even if they're a six, yeah, my cards are actually in my car right now. But the fact that you can clump them up and it's okay, it's not that big of a deal.
And they're Mechanthralls.
Mechanthralls, exactly.
Did you put something in there for a focus factory, or what are you banking on for that? Anything?
The focus factory, I have the extra scrap thrall for the first turn, and then I can snack on a couple of Mechanthralls after that. I figure by then I'll probably have lost a Jack. That's where the Necrotech jumps in, makes me some more scrap thralls.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, Mechanithralls are half a point for a D6 focus, so.
So your focus factory is actually you're hoping to generate it as you go. You're not putting a unit in to begin with. You're more of like banking on Jacks to die in one way or another.
I'll deal with it when I get to that situation. I mean, worst case scenario,
even if you stack on cast it on the first turn. Like, who cares? It's worth the focus. They're sure. Always worth the focus. Grant will be really far forward, but.
Yeah, they'll be far forward. I will have the Mechanithralls kind of bodyguarding Scar, so that's where they'll be getting in the way and, you know, blocking line of sight if need be.
You do have Arc Nodes, so if one gets away, you can just Arc Ritual or Ritual Sacrifice through it.
Yes, exactly. So, and I have Defilers, which gives me spray attacks to just have oodles of corrosion floating out there with Blood Rain. And
so what is your what's your game plan here?
My game plan? Now, I wasn't looking over the scenario event, the gaining ground event, or layout, pretty much it's trying to take these three spots in the middle. You get extra points for taking them. Obviously, since the Satixis Raiders can get up there pretty quickly, I could see them being in the second, in the middle, at the end of turn one.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely pushing into the opponent's zone by turn two. And basically, with the Defilers flanking, and the Reaper would be to pull like heavies out of the zone and pull them up for the Slayer or the Mechanithralls to beat upon. I've been having a lot of fun with the new Reaper. The Reaper is the boss now. The ability to pull things where you want them, especially if you have another melee heavy who can just finish it off after the Reaper just pulled it in. You only need two focus for the Reaper. Boost hit, boost damage, drag it in. Free attack with your Hell Driver. If it hits, great. And then your Slayer comes under the power 22 combo strike or whatever you need. Or even Scar herself can just walk up there and take care of it. Yeah. She's like, oh, cute. Here's another Jack. Breaks it. Necrotech makes more Scrap Thralls. It's good times. The scenario obviously requires taking and holding the field of battle. And thanks to Satixis Raiders with their reach and their high defense, they can deal with infantry decently. And if there's heavy Jacks there, they can tie them up and the feedback's always good. So
yeah, I mean, I think that you can also get off a feedback backlash kill.
If need be, exactly.
I mean, not even if need be. It's pretty easy. You're going to see a lot of Jacks.
Especially now.
And then, yeah, with the mini feet, you should be able to deal damage, much less if you don't want a mini feet and you pop your feet, you're going to be damaging.
Exactly. I have two separate turns of being able to quote-unquote mini feet with them.
Yeah.
And thanks to Dark Guidance being cheaper, I have more chances of getting those crit knockdowns off.
Also, I mean, you can just get in there. You can kill their caster so easy with Satixis Raiders. It's not even funny. Because they're mat 6.
Satixis Raiders. They're mat 7.
They're mat 7?
Mm-hmm. I think.
No, I think there were 6 for the regular guys, 7 for the 7.
Oh, see what you're
saying. Because they have Combine, right?
Yes, they just
have CMA. Yeah, they have CMA.
So, yeah.
With Power Swell, they can one-shot a caster.
Yeah, Power Swell, Feet.
Charge.
And then if you
even without the Feet.
I Power Swell sometimes, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, I'm just saying, if you do the Feet, it's pretty much going to happen.
Are you looking at Great Rax?
I'll draw you a picture.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, when I go up to 50 points, there we go. That's the number.
In America, that's
upgrading to Epic Scar, upgrading the Slayer into a Nightmare, and then I'm adding 2 Blood Thralls, a Necrotech, and 2 Pistol Rites.
Okay.
Blood Thralls are great because at this point level, I'm assuming to see more infantry, and thanks to the way Black Spot works, even killing something on blast damage generates another shot.
Yep.
So not as much fun now that they can't cause terror anymore. Ah, the good old days. That'd be
awesome, though, in Mark II.
That would be so hilarious in Mark II. But the new the two blow thralls and two pistol raids can really just wrap up any infantry issues. I didn't pick up a Leviathan because I figured those four solos or five solos that I was adding probably gave me a little more leeway. And obviously Nightmare with the ability to boost after the roll is just amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. And the Reaper to boost after the roll. Really, well, I mean, you say if you give it two focus, right? You don't have to boost.
You can see it go a long way, exactly.
So that's really, I think the Reaper really gets a lot of mileage out of it because you could end up hitting and damaging without spending any of your focus, and then all of a sudden you've got two more attacks.
What does the Blow Thralls pow on its?
It's a 14.
It's a 14.
So 7 splash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's on average roll and a 14 damage roll. So what are you going to do about stuff like shield wall units?
Well, hopefully hit them directly with Black Spot.
Or hit them behind or deviate from
behind. If you're lucky, get it behind, yeah.
Well, remember, shield wall units defense 13. Minus 2 for Black Spot makes them an 11. Blow Thralls are at 4. On average, between the two Blow Thralls, one of them should directly hit.
Sure, yeah.
Power 14 should kill a shield wall.
If they're not dead.
Right, but there's 10 or 12 of them.
But you need to shoot twice.
Well, you can shoot twice if you kill one guy, and once again, deviating behind them, you're right. But that's where the pistol rates are great at taking out shield wall units because they're at a higher power of 12.
And also, you got AoE 5, so, 11s and 12s will kill, TFG and shield wall, right? 11s and 12s on the
Of course, for shield wall, I have defiler sprays that can just corrode a whole line of them, even if I don't kill them. Because I'm hitting them on 6s with the defilers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at. I figured corrosion would be better than the...
And you get to shoot again.
Well, I mean, right? I have options. I have a ton of guns. What's that?
You get to shoot again, then, if you kill one.
Exactly. If I kill one, I get to shoot another spray attack. Exactly.
That's so awesome.
And they're fast enough to get around to the side. Maybe you spray from the back if need be.
Not against those assault commandos.
Oh!
Oh, no!
One unit.
Actually, my blow thralls don't work against those either.
I know.
Yeah, it's a corrosion damage.
No! I guess I'll just have to...
I don't know.
Send my Statixis Raiders after them, I guess. Black spot with them and just go to town.
They're immune to magic, too. And melee attacks.
No, they're not. They're immune to everything.
No, not range attacks that aren't tight.
They have repulsion shields.
Yeah, they have repulsion shields.
Ooh, that would suck. All right. And then going up to 75, finally, I decided to be a little silly and added a Corruptor to help me with the healing off scars damage. And it's, if I'm not mistaken, untyped damage on the weapon.
That's correct.
Unless I make it do the explosion, that's a corrosion cloud.
Right.
He's immune to corrosion.
He is.
I saw that. It's very. So if my blow thrall hits it, I'll be fine.
He's immune to Terran de la Rossi's little corrosion damage bullets.
Shenanigans. Okay, but, you know, he's got a decent range as well. It's another ranged weapon. It's not a shabby deal. I added a full unit of Blood Gorgers and Slaughterborn. Now, I don't know if I could have added Slaughterborn at this point level. I thought it was...
You can.
At the third round, it is legal, right?
Yep. Okay. Once
you reach your highest points, whether it's the 50-point level or the 75, you can start adding the characters in.
Right. So what I did was I added, let's say I added the Corruptor, a full unit of Blood Gorgers, a Brute Thrall.
Yeah.
So what's the Brute... I think the Brute Thrall might have been in my last list as well. The Corruptor, Blood Gorgers, Brute Thrall, the Combine.
Yep.
And Slaughterborn.
I gotta say, the Combine was a pretty common sight for us at the 75-point level.
Because they're freaking perfect. It's like, oh, here's a Seether. The Great Bear's like, oh, there goes a Seether.
The only thing I like more than them is, instead of three of those guys, I like three Machine Raids myself.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. But that's just me.
Oh, I had so much fun with Machine Raids the last time I played. People are scared of them now.
And they should be.
It's like, wait, what do you mean you can take over my Jack? You don't have to hit?
Nope.
No.
That's what Gun Mages are for.
Word.
Shut up. And they're medium basis, so they can't hide behind your infantry. No. Poor Machine Raids.
But so with what you've added, what do you think you brought to the table with adding, like, for example, go with the Blood Gorgers first?
Well, the Blood Gorgers can just take up a whole lot of real estate, which means I can totally crowd one of those control zones pretty decently. And Blood Gorgers can rush up the front pretty quickly. If I'm facing a lot of enemy artillery, I can throw Death Ward on them to make them pretty resilient at armor 17.
Yep.
And with Slaughterborn giving them immune to knockdown,
they'll be around.
No sleeping on the job. They'll be around at even at a 5-6 tough. They'll be there at armor 17. And if stuff gets in melee with them, that's when, you know, not dark guidance, but black spot, and they just go crazy.
Yeah.
With overtake and black spot and extra attacks.
You.
Basically, they kill something, move, kill something, move.
Kill something,
kill
move.
Kill something, move.
Kill something, move. That's one
blood gorger. One blood gorger can kill four models.
That's awesome.
Reasonably so. I mean, Slaughterborn is just ridiculous with Black Spot.
And Slaughterborn, yeah, Slaughterborn will kill
everything.
Everything.
I made someone concede because of Slaughterborn.
How much infantry did they take?
A lot, probably.
I was playing a 35 pointer, I believe, and he had two full units of Sentinels with the UA.
Oh, shit.
You killed all of them?
They're going to be
and
packed
he
together.
Killed all of them.
Are you a PAL 13 well, weapon master or PAL 12 weapon master?
Who? Sentinels?
Gorlak. Or is he not a weapon master?
Gorlak's not a weapon master. Oh, he was strength 13, but that was a turn Scarfeeded and Dark Guidanced.
Oh, so yeah, that's over.
And she failed charged forward so that she could catch like their entire army pretty much under it. And then Slaughterborn basically charged in at an angle and waltzed his way down. And the thing was that they had just finished killing off my Leviathan on the other flank. And so they were kind of spread out, except for that one dude who was close to the second unit. And thanks to my reach, I managed to get over there. And before I even started rolling on the second unit, he just quit.
That's like when I used Mold the other day. I wasn't even – this was before Overtake. But it was just his mat was high enough plus Carnage with Madrax feet. I was crushing through, and then I got to a light war beast, and I was like, I attack it. Oh, I kill that too, because it was under the strength aura and it was raged. So I was crushing through lights, and it was just stupid.
Power 23, that's just wrong. It's like if you roll a 15, that's a one-hit kill on a Drake.
Boom.
No, wait, you have to roll a 11 to one-hit kill a Drake.
There you go.
I forgot one thing on the score, and I wanted to tell Flanzer.
What's that?
Kovas is a straight POW 14. Yeah. Your Earthborn wants to get right up next to him.
Yeah, I heard that. I saw that.
Yeah, what the hell is 29. Up with that? I saw
he's
that.
Also, he also doesn't have the cloud anymore, right? He just attacks.
He just threshers.
He threshers, yeah, in reach.
I just thought you'd like that.
I would. I do.
Why would they do that? That's so weird.
Oh, I also want to talk about something that Josh brought to my attention the other day. I had mentioned something about the dick bubble the other day, which my epic Eresque movement of the Devastator. So when you energize her, the way it was worded, you were able to move models, but they clarified saying that it's once during its activation can you only bulldoze.
Yeah, it was an old bulldoze outside post back from October, actually. It was during the field test, I think, or for whatever. But anyway, yeah, just like you said, if an ability spell or whatever says something happens during an activation, it's only during that activation.
During its activation.
Yes, it's, yeah.
So you can't triple with Epic Eresque with the Tactical Supremacy.
Well, the big thing is, if it's not activated, it can't do it. That was the big clarification.
Yeah, so you can move the Devastator, but if it contacts something, Bulldoze cannot trigger.
Sounds like the Dick Bubble was popped.
No, the Dick Bubble was not popped. I didn't even use it when I was using the Dick Bubble list, so I won't, hopefully, you know, because I haven't used it yet, it's still good enough to go. So yeah.
So, there's my list. I guess... You know, obviously it's not perfect, but
definitely not perfect.
So are you going for scenarios, or are you just going to try and kill casters with something like that?
Well, honestly, I would just be playing a crush down the center brick with my Gorgers at the third point level, with the Citix Raiders being off to a flank, hanging out, trying to pick up a Warjack if they can.
Dude, I want to go ahead.
Hey, Warjack, going my way.
I want to go ahead. I want to go ahead and mention how much I think that Satixis Raiders are amazing in Mark II.
Oh yeah,
they were so useful during the Resurgence event.
I feel really bad because I fought Neo, and I demoralized the Satixis Raiders, and I didn't mean to, but and of course I meant to, but you know he had them on a hill with the +2 defense. My first turn, one of my Rocketeers stood still. Grigorovich signs importance, shot at her, killed her, and then the rest of the Winter Guard just pulled out their blunderbusses and spray templates, just murdered the. I literally killed the entire unit of Styx's Raiders first turn. He was upset, and I apologize to you, Neo. It was just signs importance. Winter Guard are absolutely stupid.
64 extra dice.
Yeah. Oh strong. Man. Explosivo, if you're listening, I want my painted Vlad.
Your Nazi blood.
Speaking of that, have you guys seen, everybody's probably seen this before me, I think it's a scene from Inglourious Basterds, I think. It's a Hitler, except his D&D character died, and he's really pissed off. Have you seen this video?
No.
It's really funny.
No. Is he like, nine, 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 nine?
We'll watch it after this is over.
I'll have to link to it.
You'll link to it, yeah. So.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I think your list is pretty sweet. I mean, I would just be afraid of infantry clearing, because a lot of things that can clear infantry with hits... is actually going to be pretty strong against your Jacks. I mean, the highest armor in your list is 18. Yes, you can give it, you know, +2 to Nightmare, but other than that, you know, I'd be worried about something like that.
Yay, Necrotex.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I have a hell of a time getting my Necrotex up to repair my heavy Jacks. They're always outpaced by my Jacks. And whenever
really?
I try... Yeah, I mean, they're only speed 5, right?
Well, aren't you running on turn one?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I always end up just getting them away, or they die because they're just because they know my opponent knows I'm going to repair that jack or whatever. But I never have enough distance. Every time I want to repair, I'm like 6 inches away.
What I usually end up doing with my Derek Race is that I have them hanging out, usually within a couple of inches of my heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in fact, I think of the Necrotech as like a Warjack attachment.
Sure.
And I have it unless if my opponent's a lot of AoEs, I'm not chilling in base to base. But if it if they don't have a lot of AoEs or ranged slam effects, I'll just stick him in base to base, and then I'll just
so you
or
don't
even turn one. I'll run him further up, mm-hmm. like into the like near the behind a woods or terrain or whatever.
And they just don't get picked off for you. I was losing
I mean,
mind.
People who
right
target
now.
Them allow my Warjacks to get up there faster. It's a decision. Do you kill the repairman before you start hurting the jack?
Well, it depends on what it is. Like, if I have a Pal 10, I'll kill the Necrotech and won't even worry about hitting the jack because the Pal 10's not going to do anything necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends.
It depends.
It depends on what you're facing.
I think this also is almost, it could be like a local meta thing, too,
could
on
be,
how
yeah.
your opponents play and
but, I mean,
and
I'll
what
say,
they play,
during
too.
My playtesting of my hardcore list from last year's Daikon, I found my Necrotechs live. I also feel like it's an interesting rule that I've just found out from gaming. When you bring two, granted, obviously it's more likely to live, but it's also, I feel like people are less likely to target it. Because it's not a linchpin. It's not like, oh, there goes the one, so
sure,
you can't
sure.
do it. But if you have two, it's like, crap, if I kill one, it's still going to happen, so I'm going to focus my fire elsewhere.
Well, Z, and you also, the way you're talking, it makes it sound like you don't necessarily always run your full movement with your jack.
Exactly.
So
well,
so the guy does kind of keep with
all
it.
All my jacks.
Also another thing, too, especially in this list, with the Satixis Raiders being so aggressive, I feel like maybe they'll have a little heat off of them.
Could be.
Right, exactly.
I can see that.
But in general, like I pretty much don't leave home without a Necrotech anymore. Like my pistol rate sees less playtime than a Necrotech.
Well, for 1 point, they're just
one point and a free scrap.
They're brilliant. They're
amazing. I just wish they had Pathfinder.
I wish they had Immobilize.
And they're such a good model. They're
Immobilize
so sweet.
Wasn't really stupid.
Yeah.
Forget Immobilize. I just want Pathfinder so they can keep up with my Harrower and Leviathan in the woods.
For 1 point, though, they're certainly worth it. Or perhaps
you can ask for a whole lot more for 1 point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can ask for that.
Well,
extra
they have
scrap
Steady. Instead of Steady, give them Pathfinder. There we go.
Yes, they
got spider legs.
Well, yeah, but spider legs means Pathfinder and Steady.
My playing Amanda at the Resurgence event, she had Nightmare and a Seether up in my face, and I put Lightning Shroud on old Rowdy, and the closest model was the first one was the Necrotech, the Pow 10 killed it, next one was the Scrap Thrall, blew up, who was next to another Scrap Thrall who blew up, who was next to another one, and then it capped,
yes.
Then it capped as a Texas Raider.
I
and
heard,
that was one electro leap.
Why would they put them so close to each other?
She didn't realize. She's still pretty kind of new to Crix, and I think
yeah, she's very new to Crix.
She had actually, I think, within that week had just bought the Necrotech and Scrap Thralls.
Yeah,
so
had.
She was kind of new to learning them, and yeah, that was amusing.
Zia.
I will say one favorite trick of mine now, by the way, is the carpet bomb. I don't know if I've talked to you guys about this before.
Talk to me about
mm-mm.
it.
Okay, so I purposely get my Bone Jack kill. Like, if it gets engaged, I'll take free strikes on purpose. To try and get it killed. And if it gets killed, what I'll do is I'll Necrotech into Scrap Thralls, and then I'll drop an AoE on them and just let them explode around the enemy infantry. I did that to a local, and it was pretty funny. I killed all the... What was it? He had an Irrevenant crew hanging around. He had killed one...
An Irrevenant crew?
he had killed my Reaper, and I rolled up there and turned it into three Scrap Thralls, and the three Scrap Thralls... And he had Terminus. The three Scrap Thralls cleared the entire Revenant crew.
Nice.
Even with the tough checks, because three of them blew up.
That's awesome.
I still lost the game because I forgot my Leviathan had been Death Chilled. And he was going to walk up and kill Terminus, but I forgot.
Nice.
And so Gorshade died, but it was very sad.
But anyways.
But it cleared the area for Gorshade to charge Terminus, et cetera, et cetera.
Cool.
Cool.
Is that it for today?
Well, Z, the soon-to-be American, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Oh, anytime. You guys are great. That's fun to watch.
Dave's about to fall asleep.
So you're going to make it up to Daikon, right?
Absolutely. Eric's not going to be able to make it because he's going to Bonnaroo the week after, and so his excuse is, it's too soon, man.
Bummer.
But that's okay.
Loser.
Is Webster going to come?
As far as I know, yes, unless he has summer school, but
like Emmanuel
he's excited. But he said he'll only come if we're staying with you.
Hey, no playtesting games this time.
What? What are you talking about?
So no playtesting card games.
Okay, that's fine. I can't even find my copy anymore. It's very sad.
But we're going to have to get some Emos pizza, though.
Oh, Emo's Pizza.
I hate St. Louis style pizza. I'll say that right now.
Z liked it.
Z was was awesome.
You damn Indian.
I'll damn your Indian.
Wait. This one.
But yeah, Jason, like I said, Webster said he'll only come if he gets to stay with you.
Okay.
In your bed with you, spooning you.
In fact, that's exactly
Tim's
what
actually going to stay there too, so it'll be really fun.
It'll be a party.
You guys can braid each other's hair. Talk about boys.
I got to bump it.
Nice.
You got to bump it?
Actually, my two of my friends, because I'm fascinated with like as seen on TV junk.
Oh, yeah, me too.
They bought me one for my 30th birthday.
Wait, what was this?
A bump it. You never seen it's like a woman puts it in her hair and it makes it like.
Oh, right, to make your hair. Yeah, right.
That's ridiculous.
Actually, it gives you the big beehive.
Uh-huh. The Slap Chop, I used one a couple weeks ago, and it is amazing. You'll love my nuts. No, it literally, we cooked a meal, and our goal was to use the Slap Chop in every item, and we did.
Bikini
and
martini. Perfect.
Whenever you put it in the sink, how did you get it into the sink?
I threw it over my shoulder.
Did you
bust down the blinds. Oh, God.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on, and I'll try to listen to this episode.
All right.
Okay. Well, I guess
what's the website again?
You're a dick. .com.
It's twatter.com.
Twatter.
Twatter. Oh dear.
Bye, everybody. Afraid. Let's get out of here.
All right.
All right.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2010 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided by Joshua Salter. Iron Agenda is affiliated with Spooky Outhouse Productions. For more podcasts, visit www.spookyouthouse.com.